Yom Kippur, Yosef Zlotnik. Where were you when, before you came to like to meet Rabbi? What was your
situation? I was in Detroit.
What year was that?
Between 1942 and 1946. Mm-hmm. And I met Reb Aharon in 1946. I came to Reb Aharon in 1946 and came to Lakewood. And I was
What were you doing in Detroit?
In Detroit, I was learning in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin.
Uh-huh.
And then I came to Reb Aharon.
In 1946?
In 1946, between 1946 and 1948.
Okay. How did you know to come to Reb Aharon?
I met him in the country. He was staying in Gartenberg and Schechters,
uh-huh.
And I met him there, and I was told that he's looking for somebody, because I was not only a student of his, but I was also the Menahel Gashmi in Lakewood.
Uh-huh.
So when I came there as a double Maaseh. One Seder I learned, and one Seder I was...
You met him in Gartenberg.
A man in Gartenberg.
And he gave a sahara or something.
No, just we were speaking, and
he spoke.
I would fit into it. He spoke to me, and I told him how much I learned and where I learned.
Okay.
And he said, before South 9th Street, before I went to Detroit, I learned from the Chofetz Chaim
in
South 9th Street.
Yeah. In Williamsburg.
In Williamsburg.
Brooklyn.
Yes, right. I was born in Brooklyn. I was born in the Bushwick section.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so in 1946 you entered the yeshiva, you learned, and
One Seder I learned, one Seder I was Menahel Gashmi in Lakewood. Not in New York in the office, but in Lakewood.
Take care of the everyday needs of the
yeshiva.
Yeah. Okay, now...
We were 27 Talmidim.
The whole yeshiva.
The whole yeshiva. Nosson Wachtvogel was one of the Jungelites.
Uh-huh.
And Shmuel Kamenetsky, El Yeshvei.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they were all...
The original cadre.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this rabbi that told you to get in touch with me, his father was there too at the time.
Right.
And he brought Feigelstock, who was in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Feigelstock learned together there too, at that time too.
He brought him to yeshiva.
Yeah.
Where was Rabbi Feigelstock?
I don't know, but I know that he brought him.
Uh-huh. But I guess Rabbi El Yeshvei was in Tervidas.
Yes, El Yeshvei and Shmuel Kamenetsky were in Tervidas.
Yeah. Okay, so could you describe some of the experiences you had, let's say in the shiurim?
The shiurim, he used to give a shiur on the weekend.
Yeah.
Because he used to go back to New York for Baratella.
Oh, Baratella.
Yes. And he couldn't travel by bus.
Uh-huh.
So he only went back by train. Uh-huh. So I used to take him to Point Pleasant with the yeshiva's taxi.
And why couldn't he travel by bus?
He used to go against his grain.
Uh-huh.
So I used to take him to Point Pleasant, the train station, and there he asked me to say over the shear. Did you verstanden dem shear?
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't. And I said, "Ich bin sicher, dass er sagt, ich hab nicht verstanden, aber der ist der Schiffer, der nicht gefragt.
Yeah.
But ich hab nicht verstanden. Kann ich verstehen, warum? Der Ibe gesagt noch einmal."
Was it while you were driving?
While we were driving.
Oh.
And I wasn't doing the driving, but I was sitting next to him.
Okay, yeah.
And he repeated it. Did you know it now? No. He did it a third time. Then I understood it.
Between here and Point Pleasant?
Between here and Point Pleasant. Three times he said over the shear.
Was it very fast?
Very fast. Baruch Hashem, I was able to say it over him, and he said, good gesagt.
Good.
But one thing I can tell you, he never let anybody come to me or speak to me when I was learning. The Seder that I had for learning, he wouldn't let anything of the things going on in the yeshiva that I had to take care of Nobody to come to me.
How did he protect you?
He wouldn't let anybody come over to me.
Oh, he was watching.
He was watching when I was learning or not. He said this was it. Mm-hmm. This was it. He said during the time of learning, because he wasn't there during the week. He was there only for the weekend.
Yeah.
And that's when he said the shiurim.
Right.
But he was... And then Rishul Cutler lived by the Rosh Hashiva, 43 West 93rd Street.
Oh, yeah.
And before she was married to Shnea.
Before she was married.
Before she was married to Shnea.
Because they got married here.
They got married here, yes.
Yeah.
They were married in the... it was a different story. I was at their wedding in Baruch Hashem.
Where was
arranged
the wedding?
Was it at McAlpin, New York, or was it that Soros cousin? It was at the McAlpin. I don't remember.
That was Manhattan.
Manhattan. Yes.
Okay.
But he was gewaldig. The first thing with him was learning. That was the first thing, and whoever it was would have to learn. He wouldn't allow anybody to disturb. And this is the way I had it. And Palabatim would come, and normally I would have to go out to, no, this is the time to learn, and that was it. I learned with Yitzchok Pilchik, Vishalom. Yeah.
I remember it was the Pilchik brothers and wife were from Stone. The
That's the same family. Okay. Same family from Williamsburg.
Right. The brother, the father.
Yeah, but I was with Yitzchok.
I don't know which one that is.
But he was, when it came to learning,
nothing else
was there. That took preference to everything.
Is there any other incidents that you could recall?
Well, I remember.
Characteristic.
Well, the characteristic of him, he was only interested in learning, and only interested that people should learn.
And who?
You're talking about Rishul's cousin.
Well, before she was married, I knew her because she lived by the Rosh Hashiva.
How did she come to live by the Rosh Hashiva?
She had nobody, and that's where she lived. And then she married Shnea.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when Nishva Heinkedach, my wife, was sitting shiva with her sister for their mother. May she rest in peace. Rishul came in to be Menachem Avil. So she said to my wife, "I knew your husband when he was still single." I says, "And I knew you when you were still single." I go back with the family.
Yeah.
He was, people would come, and when it came to the shir, that took place. That was before anything. The biggest balabatim in New York, that we were at the time with the yeshiva, Irving Bunim, Senda Kaufman, Lester Udell, all of these, the big balabatim, nothing took preference. The Shia took preference, and this was it. And we had the yeshiva. Shlomo Kalbach was there at that time as a Talmud also. Shlomo Olav Shalom. The Rosh Hashiva used to enjoy a niggun. He couldn't. He wasn't a bar menachem himself, but he used to say, "If Shlomo is not a niggun." But there was no question. I mean. I don't want to. And then he worked with the Vada Tzala, there's no question about it. He was always interested in helping people. People would come to him, but they needed something about all the Rosh Hashivas, we call him.
Well, how did you arrange the wedding?
Well, that was a... I wasn't Masada the Chasanet. I just took care of the arrangements for it. It was at the McAlpin Hotel. Sorry, I shall have had the wedding in, with what's his name?
Schwartzman.
Beryl Schwartzman.
Yeah, right.
Beryl Schwartzman. Yeah. I was Masada that class. Dei
Schwartzman.
Dei Schwartzman. Beryl. Dei. And he was only interested in helping people. And the Shivi was only interested in Mizalzitsin and Lerner. And when he said the Shia, he didn't allow anything to be to disturb him. Only said the Shia. He used to say the Shia on Shabbos and Sunday. And then he used to come back to New York.
And the other incidents that happened that were characteristic that you remained of, I think that happened along the way.
Well, people came to him continuously for help, and he was the first one to help. But when he gave the Shia, that took preference. Nobody would be able to interrupt. And
did people dug around in this year?
They couldn't, because he used this
too focused.
He was too focused. Too focused. And people who came to the Shia knew that they couldn't. And he used to say, man, he was very fast. Very fast. And this is how he said this year. And I don't have to tell you what he did for the Baruch Tzolla, what he did, and he helped to help people, Yiddishkeit. But he used to come to the yeshiva, to Lakewood, at the Ogeland.
Enjoyed it.
Ah, saying a shir. Other people used to come in to the shir from that were staying in the hotels.
They wanted to hear.
They used to come in. So if you used to come in, gesund to hate.
You wouldn't know what they were talking about.
But some of them did, some of them didn't.
I could have told him.
Oh, yes. Rebaran used to get $150 a week. That was his salary. And when Sari got married...
What year was that?
This must have been in 46, 47. I was married the first time in 47, my wife's still in New York. And he said to me, I should take off to see this, get in touch with the office in New York. They should take off from his salary. I don't remember whether it was $25 a week or $50 a week, but they should take it off. Kitzer Hadover, I spoke to the Balabatim, and they agreed with me that we shouldn't do it. We didn't do it. Some time went away and he didn't take off the money. He came along with a check. I don't remember exactly how much, but it was a few hundred dollars, a nice few hundred dollars to cover it. That was Reb Aharon.
Yeah,
this story. Oh, this is. Then when the younger light that came, and they had problems, financial problems, he would try to help them out. In a quiet way, nobody knew. In a quiet way. We were 27. Younger Light and Bocharim at the time.
So what? So how many years after that were you there?
I was there a few years.
So what?
48.
So starting 46?
46 and 48. So it was over 2 years. over 2 years.
Where did you go from there?
From there, I was contemplating going, I went to Yeshiva of Eastern Parkway. When it broke away from Chaim Berlin. It was Yeshivas Chaim Berlin of Eastern Parkway. And they broke away and I came to become the executive director. And
when you left, what was Rabaran's opinion?
Rabaran's opinion was that I should stay in Lakewood.
Yeah.
Wo was geht jetzt ein Yeshivik Tannen? Wer weiß, ein Beine wird auch jetzt wachsen, was wir haben.
So what would it look like for the future of the students?
The future of the students, they should sit and learn.
No other time.
Just to sit and learn.
But he did send people out to do.
Yes. When it came to building the yeshivas, he sent them out. Mm-hmm. That was later on.
Is there anything you sum up to say what that whole experience meant to you and what you see happen because of that experience in general?
Because of that experience, I knew that money isn't everything, and I knew that I had to do things for Torah, and I was, when they broke away from, they came to me at Balabatim from Yeshiva of Eastern Parkway, when we were still with Chaim Berlin, then they broke away because Chaim Berlin was getting all the money, so they asked me to come and put it on its feet. I'll never forget that the Rav Hutner Zecheinu Levracha came into the yeshiva with his student who was the principal, the Hebrew principal, Rabbi Silva, and he says to me, Zlatmik, Yechabanoyev, Asmetay Genumen, Shalonu. So I says, Rav Hutner Zolme Michael Zayn, Mietzoltmen, Azizolme Zayn, Mishalachem. Sabazunda Yeshiva. You can dread him with silver wiffle you will. But when it comes to the Anholeshaft, and it comes to the Gashmias, it's Yeshiva of Eastern Parkway now.
Eventually that became a primate Yeshiva.
Afterwards. Oh. Reb Aaron was my Masada Kedushin. 47. In 1947, he was my Masada Kedushin. And I was close to it with Reb Nosson, with all the Yeshivalite that were there at the time.
How do you view what he was able to accomplish in terms of what you see today?
What you see today, I never dreamt that Lakewood, when we came here the first time, I came to look for the Yeshiva, 617 6th Street. It wasn't there. They threw it down. They built this big building, 3,500 students. Reb Aaron was interested in echus,
quality.
He was interested in special talmidim. Reb Shneya was interested in building a bigger yeshiva, Kamus. And Reb Aaron was interested in the klibbene junge light. We had Reb Yisrael Bergstein, Zecheinu Levracha. He was a Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael afterwards. And Shmuel Kamenetsky El Yeshevim in Philadelphia. And there were others. And maybe rest in peace. Oh. That's how I met my first wife. Kedem Shpacha afterwards. We learned together Pesach Kohn and Scheinberg, Shmuel Scheinberg. His brother was Chaim Pinchas
from
Eretz Yisrael. At that time, he was a Mashgiach in Chafetz Chaim, South 9th Street. But Shmuel, the close chaver of mine, Shmuel Zecheinu Levracha.
You went to Tavadat at any time?
No.
Never.
No, but I knew them all, yeah. But I didn't go to Torah with us. I didn't go to Torah with us.
You always in Chofetz Chaim?
I was in Chofetz Chaim and in Detroit.
How did you end up in Detroit?
We were Bianca of London.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Saw that there was a machlokes in Detroit and had to make shalom. We were five bachur. The five of us came and Baruch Hashem made 18 because there was a machlokes between Pesachovich and Rottenberg.
Moshe Rottenberg. Somebody was Mr. Just now, and in fact, his son is in Lake Yosemite Shiva.
Baruch Dayanamis.
In fact, somebody just called me, they asked me to go to Nachmovel over there.
Moshe Rottenberg, of course. He was a Rosh Yeshiva, I didn't know that. He was in the Geri Yeshiva, he was.
Right, that's him.
That was him. Baruch Dayanamis, he was my Rebbe.
In Lakewood, you don't know.
Lakewood, I didn't even know.
It's very big now, Lakewood.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. So, any final words you want to put in the finale?
That there were very few people like Reb Aaron Kotler. His whole life was for Torah, and his whole life was to be Marbitz Torah.
And
Baruch Hashem, we can see how successful he was.
Beyond anybody's belief.
Beyond anybody's belief. Whoever dreamt that there would be 3,500 students here? Mind you, he was interested in the smaller yeshiva in Klibben.
It's much more than here. He has branches all over the world.
He has branches all over the world. Branches all over.
Even the other yeshivas were influenced by
this. This is what he did. He used to send his talmidim that started other yeshivas.
Even besides, I think the example that he set encouraged a lot of other people to go to other yeshivas and build them up.
Build them up, too. Yes. His whole life was Torah. And I can tell you this much. The Rebbetzin, Aleha HaShalom, her devotion and her giving over time and energy wasn't easy for her. But he was able to do it because he had such a Rebbetzin.
He was indefatigable. He didn't get tired.
There was no such thing as tired. When it came to Torah, that was it. There was no such thing to say, I can't do it, I can't say it, I can't. Nothing.
He overcame all obstacles.
All obstacles.
They said there were very big obstacles.
There were big obstacles.
The whole philosophy and the issues were different. The people were the college.
Of course. You had your yeshiva university.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
No, by him, everything was learning.
Now I'm going to write two more books about it. To yourself. Because you offered, I think, many jobs.
Oh, there's no question about it. I was offered many rabbinical positions where I could have had a lot of money.
You'd be a rabbi.
As a rabbi in conservative congregations,
yeah.
Or not only conservative, even in Orthodox.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. He didn't look for money. He didn't look for any covet except learning.
But he got tremendous covet.
But he got tremendous covet because people realize it.
He had the courage and the...
He had the courage and the stamina. And he wasn't the healthiest person. But he didn't let anything stop him.
When my late husband fell, I had a full paddle.
Rabbi Yankiv Pester, he was a Kamenitzer.
Younger.
Shneyas. He was close with Reb Shneya. He used to come to Reb Aaron for Shiurim.
Reb Shneya was here when you were here? All the time?
Afterwards.
He came from Mr. Slow.
Yeah, afterwards. He got married.
Okay,
I wasn't here when Shneya was a Rosh Yeshiva.
I know that. I realize that's an easy assumption to make. Of course, I came in 66, it was a different crew already.
Different.
But you felt the influence.
The influence.
And I feel the influence today.
And I was close with Reb Moshe too.
Moshe Feinstein?
Reb Moshe Feinstein. Mm-hmm. But that was a different type, different yeah. way, and different.
But lighter.
Baron had a serious nefesh for Torah.
See, what I was impressed was I used to go to the bus and used to give a, the yard side used to give a little talk to the Shilohites. And I noticed, I said to myself, I was older, I was like 20 years older than most of them. And I said to myself, these boys don't know what he's talking about. They think, he's sitting here in this yeshiva, they think this is the way it always was. They got it so easy for somebody to give up all the careers and to come sit down in Lakewood. It was unheard of.
Unheard
the parents
of.
Were always against it, and tried to explain to them what the change in the world that he did. I said maybe they don't know what I'm talking about. So I said I have to record these things so the next generation should hear what the people went through, where it came from. That's a very important thing. It's the legacy of the whole thing. Who these people, because everything is made out of people.
Right.
It's the people who influence, and that's what you have today. It will never come about any other way.
And if Reb Shneur made a big yeshiva,
it was under that.
It was under that tradition.
That was the force.
That was the force.
So you don't see the result if you don't understand where this come from.
Where was the beginning?
There was an atomic bomb.
That's
26,
right?
Well,
he had Nuklets. I mean, no,
yeah.
It was even before.
Right.
It was a different... I made the papers for the Kletzka that came.
Uh-huh.
They came to Lakewood. There was a...
Rutkin.
Rutkin, yes.
Just here.
And Muttel Wenger.
I heard of him, I didn't know him.
Muttel Wenger came to the yeshiva. He didn't want to go into a room. Rosh Yeshiva said to give him a room.
Yeah.
Rosh Yeshiva wouldn't give him he wouldn't go into a room. He says he's going to sleep on the floor. The Eberstetim geholfen, as they come in Lakewood, and Zayn by Zayn Rosh Yeshiva. Netem Geratovit, he's not sleeping in a bed, he's sleeping on the floor. When I told that to Reb Aaron, that's Muttel Wenger, but he's Altam Zogen in my nomen. Shipped him to me. He wanted them to have the best.
The best?
The bed and the best in learning.
He told him to sit on the floor.
No, he.
Who said that?
Muttel Wenger.
He said he wanted
Muttel said it. Muttel Wenger said it. It's the Eberstetim Geholfen. That he came to Lakewood to be by the Rosh Yeshiva and to be in the yeshiva. He doesn't want to sleep in a bed here. He wants to sleep on a bed.
There's a name that came up from some of the things I heard by Bloch. He said he was something phenomenal.
That was a different.
Yeah. He was from also Europe.
Yeah.
But I don't think he learned in Kletz. Maybe yes, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he was a Kletz guy. Yeah. But that was after mine.
Yeah. But he didn't talk about it.
But his Mesiris Nefesh for Yiddishkeit and for Turin is hard to find.
It was a different type. You couldn't even see that by anybody else.
You saw it by a Reb Moshe, but in a different sort of
a quieter way.
Yeah. Quieter way.
Saving some money.
When I came, yeah. they were getting meat from the local butcher.
Uh-huh. Who was that?
A man by the name of Frymovich.
Yeah.
So they took from the local butcher.
Yeah.
What kind of business is this? I went away to Rav Teitz, the Kohen Lebracha in Elizabeth, and he called me the owner of the slaughterhouse. His name was Slatkin.
Okay.
He says, go to him and speak with him. I went there and we started getting meat from the slaughterhouse. Was sent to a butcher. I sent it to a butcher in New York, Edgar Trebert, and sent this meat. So the first year he gave me the meat for nothing. We weren't that many, but he gave me for nothing. And afterwards, who knows if they didn't get it till now. I changed a lot of things there.
So
we saved money.
A good manager.
Yeah. Made it my business not to be a damager. It was a skus.
Yeah.
Big skus. I'll never forget when he came to Montreal to visit. I came to see him. People saw how the closeness that existed.
What were you doing in Montreal?
I was a rav in two shuls.
Official.
50 years. Close to 50 years. 12 years in one, 36 in another. And I was brought there by, I'm not going to mention the names, a very known rabbi. I was supposed to take his position 6 months after I came, and he stayed 17 years. I left him right away, and I took the rabbonis. He told me I could take a part-time position, and when he came to take it, he said no. Left him, and I took the part-time position full-time. I remained in Montreal.
You
built two shuls. Why do you talk? Label is still there.
I have him also.
Sure. Label was there after me. He came to the
Lakewood. He just had another great grandson this week. They're having a bliss on Sunday.
Sure, Label.
I'm related. Of course, my daughter is married to Florence. Aaron Florence. From here.
Yeah, yeah.
So his son married his granddaughter.
Of course I know Label. He was in the Merkas HaTorah. My sons went to the Merkas HaTorah. Well,
that's not the subject.
That's not the subject. We're talking about Rabbi.
Yeah, all right. I can't get too far off the track.
No.
It's good. I want to go a little off the fact that I want to show who the people are that are talking about
Rabbi. Talking about
Rabbi. You don't know who they are. That's really the main thrust.
I was a rav in Montreal 50 years. Mm-hmm. And then retired.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Zlotnick, for your words on Rabbi Zal. Let me just see where it came out.
I can say that he was left.
Say it again. As a sequel.
As a sequel. He was lucky that he had the Rebbetzin together with him, and she was with him in every facet of work that she was a real Ezek and Egdo and helped him continuously. No question about it.
Oh, she was born in the
Rebbe Zalman. Yeah. Near her grave.
So my husband and all of them are from a slab.
Yeah. Yanked the weather.
Yeah. She didn't want anything. She didn't need anything. She was only interested.
I was by the Levaya. The bounds of Levaya. And that's the soil.
And that was the soil.
Yeah, I was standing right there.
Why did you want the Levaya?
I was there.
I was in from Montreal.
Oh, how
but I was there. I went to the whenever I went to Eretz Yisrael, yeah. I went to the Torah.
I happened to be there at the
time.
You
were there at the time.
So I went to there was nobody who didn't go. It was the whole of Yisrael was there.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, you mean... I wanted to go to the Levaya.
Yeah, so.
Well, there was something in New York on the east side.
Right.
And I was in Montreal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me in Cullum and said not to come. Why? because I was perturbed. I didn't know what to do. There was somebody that wanted to sell the first shul that I built for a church because they would get more money. Mm-hmm. And he said not to come, mm-hmm. to see that they shouldn't sell it for a church.
Mm-hmm. It was real.
It was real. It was real.
Yeah.
And I didn't go, and Baruch Hashem, we sold it to the Skvera Chassidim.
Yeah.
They made a yeshiva there, and they made a mikveh there, and it's Baruch Hashem to this very day.
Did they know that they got that place in the even if the dream wasn't exactly.
Of course.
But the fact that you were Rabbi Aaron, that's what motivated you to do that.
That's right. And I didn't go.